For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue. To learn more.
That is Wilson Contreras right here on 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly. Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you can give us a call at 617-779-7937 or on the Odyssey app. You can press that microphone button, leave us a message, launch us a take grenade. We played around 5 o'clock, but we are in a strange spot with these Boston Red Sox. I'll tell you what, it's a great spot to be in if you consider where this team was 3 weeks ago.
They lowered expectations so far. We'll take two games under, baby.
Real quick, before we get to our guest, you had an amazing stat, and that was that, June 14th, this team was 14...
June 24th.
June 24th, okay. And what was your stat? Was that
They were 14 games under. No team in baseball history has come back to make the playoffs that bad, that late in the year, since the 1914 Boston Braves, so... Now, Ted pointed out very astutely, they have three wildcard teams now. Things are a little different. So in the modern era, maybe that's not as impressive. But still, factually, it would be historic.
Absolutely. And by the way, we were in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. And a gentleman who is about as inside as it gets, one of our favorite insiders that we have here on the show, Bob Nightingale from USA Today joins us. And Bob, first of all, thanks for coming out with us. We really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
So, Bob, as we were just saying, no one would have ever expected that this Red Sox team would be in this position right now where, God forbid, they're going to be buyers, potentially. What are you hearing, and what do you think this Red Sox team will do as the trade deadline approaches?
I think they will be buyers. The way they're playing, down the stretch, just that 16-game stretch, went nuts. Whether it went 14-2, that 9-0 road trip. It'd be crazy to sell. I mean, you're right there, and it's not like they're in the National League. They don't have to beat out the Dodgers or the Phillies or Atlanta. The American League's wide open. There's no super team out there, so all you gotta do is just get into the dance, and they could be playing the World Series.
Knowing Craig Breslow and the way that he operates, and really the position he's in right now, where a couple of weeks ago, his job was in jeopardy and may still be. How do you think he is going to act coming up this trade deadline? And do you think they will be aggressive, or is it going to kind of be some half measures as we've seen this team make in the past?
Probably more a half measure, but you can say that about a lot of teams. It's not like they're going in after Turks Kubel. and you know, they don't need Robbie Ray or things like that. There's just not a whole lot out there. So that's why I say, you know, there's no reason to be, you know, real aggressive. All I can do is, you know, stay healthy and stay the course, you know, perhaps get, you know, Crochet back, get Story playing better, you know, that sort of thing. And you never know. But I mean, that thing's so wide open. I mean, there's what, 23 teams within a playoff spot right now.
Who of the sellers, who's an obvious seller, Bob, and like that would be, as obviously they need a bat and probably a right-handed bat. What are the candidates out there that, what teams should they even be thinking about? If you're a Sox fan, like, oh, this is an obvious team, we should check out their roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, you know, the two big ones, of course, is San Francisco Giants and the New York Mets. You know, could they go after a, you know, a Luis Arraez there? You know, Jung-Hoo Lee, the outfielder, do they want to spend that kind of money? You know, Matt Chapman, do they really want to spend over $100 million to get him? And he does have a no-trade clause, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I think Lindor could be available at some point. I just don't see them trading him now. You know, maybe, maybe the Mets trade him in the offseason. You know, otherwise, you know, there's smaller candidates too, whether it's a, you know, a Mickey Moniak, you know, those type of guys, you know, out of Chicago. I mean, I'm sorry, out of Colorado or a Jake McCarthy.
Hey, Bob, since the three wild card teams been implemented since in 2022, is it just much harder to make a trade of any real significance at this time of year because it feels like everyone's in it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like 60 transactions last year at the deadline. But, you know, it's a seller's market. I mean, people say who's going to be the winner, you know, winner, loser, the trade deadline. Well, the winner is going to be whoever sells because you're getting a lot more for your players than you normally would. But, yeah, I mean, look at just a couple of years ago when Arizona Diamondbacks barely got in, Texas Rangers blew the division lead the last weekend. And those are the two teams in the World Series. Cleveland was dead and buried last year, you know, in August, even sold. But, you know, then they're in the playoffs. So it's wide open.
Chad Tracy, we've had a lot of discussions about the job that he's done so far. And I personally think that, you know, if you take a look at how this team did not fold and the team did not turn on each other and become apathetic, which many teams that are that far out will usually do, I give the manager credit. When you take a look at the job Chad Tracy's done, how would you measure his performance up to this point?
Well, I think he's doing a very good job in the sense that, you know, when things were kept going bad, it looked like, you know, like you referenced to June 24th, they could easily quit and say, okay, we're done. Where are we going to be trading next? And for them to just, you know, have the belief that they can come back and do that, you know, that's a testament to Tracy. So you know, I would think if they make the playoffs or certainly come close, I would think you might as well, you know, keep the job. Yeah, I really would. But took it to make the playoffs. You gotta hang on to him.
So, Bob, we had Buster Olney on a couple of, man, it was when things were at their worst. It was probably like 6 weeks ago, maybe. And he was saying that even when they were at their worst at that point, that ownership had been making calls trying to find a big bat. Have you heard anything about that? And how strange is that, that ownership would be going over the heads and making those phone calls?
Yeah, you don't hear that. I think when Buster reported that, you know, I haven't talked to Buster about it, but it was right after the owners' meetings. So the owners talk all the time, and they'll say, hey, what about a trade here? Just kind of play an armchair quarterback. You know, at those owners' meetings, as much as there's a big rivalry between the Yankees and Red Sox, those guys hang around the most, talk to each other, having some adult beverages, the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know, front office and ownership. So it could have been something like that where, you know, owners are doing that. They'll do that, you know, among themselves. And then, of course, you know, go back to their own GM and say, hey, what do you think? You know, I talked to so-and-so, and he might be intrigued about something.
Bob, do you think it's inevitable that this labor dispute's going to end up in a lockout? And how do you think that impacts the trade deadline here for some teams? Are they more aggressive because of it or less aggressive?
Yeah, what I've heard from talking to GMs is just that they'll be less aggressive trading away young prospects. Say there is a salary cap. Those guys can be more valuable than ever because they're not making money, and you need those guys if you do need to slash payroll. that sort of thing. So just that those guys are more valuable. Otherwise, I don't think it would have a much of an impact at all. And I really believe there'll be a season next year. We'll see if it's a 162 games, but I do believe there'll still be, at least 140 games played.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale. And Bob, are you hearing anything, any details about how the Red Sox just sent Roman Anthony down to Florida away from the team after his hand injury? Do you know any more details about that? And what does that mean to you that after all this time, they've said, you're going down to Florida, come back when you're better? Like, what do you read from all this?
I think just to get away with, get him away from answering questions all the time, people asking how you're doing, that sort of thing. And maybe just, on his timetable and maybe more of a mental rest than anything else, without being constantly asked about it, whether it's by reporters, coaches, his teammates, that sort of thing. That's all. I mean, I saw him a lot in the, WBC, that wasn't, obviously wasn't an issue at all. So I don't know what happened when he got back in the WC, if his workouts compound the problem or something else. But yeah, maybe it might be more of a mental break than anything else.
This is strange. I have to admit, I mean, it's so weird because the injury isn't like anything I've seen before, and it seems like it's a pain tolerance thing. Have you heard anything more about like what it is and what they expect as far as when he comes back and what the attitude of management is about all of this happening?
No, I'm sure they got to look and say, okay, what do we do wrong here? Why is this taking so long? Was he swinging too much? What were you guys doing here? So and you see that. You're seeing that more and more times where, teams are misdiagnosing something or just the wrong, cure, what have you. So I think it's actually smart having him get away to Florida and just, come back at his own timetable, make sure he's 100% without feeling pressure to, hey, I got to come back now to help this team on this valuable, got the big contract and everything else.
All right. Well, Bob Nightingale from USA Today, awesome having you on, and it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here. I know that none of us expected to be talking about this team possibly buying at the trade deadline, but nonetheless, it'll be interesting to see what Breslow does.
Yeah, no, it's wide open. Like I said, particularly American League, you get in the dance, you could be playing in late October.
Awesome. Well, thanks much, Bob Nightingale. Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
Right, thank you, guys.
So, Kent, who is Baseball Brett? Because you were texting me about this with Roman Anthony. I have no idea who this Baseball Brett. Do you know anything about this?
No clue.
Okay. Apparently, he was on Greg's show.
He's a friend of Greg's and friend of mine. I mean, we've hung out a few times, so I can say we're friendly. But Baseball Brett, best I can describe it, is he's just in the know. He's around the Red Sox. He is around the team. I don't want to blow his cover. He goes by Baseball Brett when he calls into the morning show, and he's a frequent contributor to Greg's show.
Jason Veritek.
He's not Jason Veritek.
Okay, all right.
He just is, he's around the Red Sox, so he's informed. He's briefed on a lot of things. I trust him. I know that he knows what he's talking about. And he made an appearance today where he said some interesting things about the Roman situation that I believe are a reflection, maybe not directly, but at least sort of directly, about how Roman is feeling about where things stand.
Okay.
So I think it's worth playing a little clip of it back here, because I think it says a lot. And
is his name really Brett, or is this someone using a fake name?
No, his name is Brett.
Okay.
He just the last name is not named to protect the innocent sort of thing.
Okay, but you trust that this person is extremely close to Roman Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, we were down in spring training, and Brett was there. He was at the facility, and he's around.
With the team. He was with the team.
I mean, not directly. He doesn't work for the team.
Okay, but he was on the other side of the rope. Like, he wasn't like a fan. Yes. He was like around the team. All right, well, that's interesting. And he called Greg and gave some inside info on Roman Anthony.
Oh, I got this. Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, Stiz, we got that. Can we play that when we get back? All right. 2 minutes. We'll be right back with that audio.
For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hear the music, you know what time it is. It is time for Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring and WEEI. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. Brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradfo, what's going on?
Oh, I'm so happy to be home. I'm so happy to talk to you, McFarland, to you all. Yay, baseball. What an unbelievable all-star game, right? 4-0 shutout.
It was very exciting.
Edge of your seat stuff.
You were there. Yep. All of baseball was there. So I imagine a lot of buzz, a lot of talk. What does the baseball world expect the Red Sox to do?
Oh, right to it. Yeah. I like it.
Not messing around.
New clock here, Brad. We got to get to it. Yeah.
Let's go.
I know. And by the way, I got in the car, and the first thing I heard was Keith say, "I'm not a big fan of the tush push." So I don't know what you were talking about. But it spiced things up. And I will say that the Red Sox have spiced things up around the world of baseball. Everybody expects them to buy. Now, I will say what I told you the guys the other day, like, okay, yeah, that's all well and good, but we'll see how they land after this homestand against teams that they have not beaten before. They still have to prove some things. And if they come out of this homestand and head to the great city of Sacramento in the same situation they are now, then absolutely. But then, like, they do not have benefit of the doubt at the trade deadline. Everybody can talk about big things and big names and getting everybody, like, no, like the way this world is right now in the world of front offices, including the Red Sox, is that, yeah, there's a lot of deals made, but how many of our deals are the kind of uncomfortable deals where you say we are getting the superstar and we pay a crap load of guys for it and we don't care if we might look bad? And that's the one thing the Red Sox have to do this time around.
When you look at the guys that are out right now for them, they have so many big-name players. They got a bunch of pitchers in Garrett Crochet and Connelly Early and even Ranger Suarez and then Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Trevor Story. How many of those guys do you think are going to be helping the team in the next like month and a half or so?
Well, I think Story will be back. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he's back before the end of the month. And I know that he wasn't good for the first couple months there. I do think that you probably chalk it up at least a little bit to he was dealing with that injury like throughout that entire time. I don't think that's the one position where you can say, all right, you can get an upgrade. You can definitively say that you can go out and Trevor Story might be an upgrade at, let's say, shortstop. Because right now at second base, until Anthony Siegler shows otherwise or Romy Gonzalez shows otherwise, that's not a bad combination. That's not a bad situation. But shortstop, absolutely. And so Trevor Story would be the guy at the top of the list. As I said the other day, like Roman Anthony, well, the fact that they send him to Fort Myers is tells me that I don't think know if they expect him back anytime soon. And Crochet, I know I'm supposed to talk to Crochet later today, and it'll be interesting to see if he's thrown at all. Like I would not be shocked at all for Garrett Crochet if we get to the end of the year here and they say, well, is it worth it for him to push through this long term? Because you're dealing with a shoulder thing, which obviously is much more serious than they thought it was.
Going back to Story real quick, if he comes back, and like you said, they've had a few different players playing shortstop right now, including Meyer, who's also not available, but is Story just like put him in there and like let him go unless they add somebody else? Or is it like how long of a leash would he get because he was so bad to start the year?
Yeah, again, like this isn't making an excuse, but the fact is that you had the sports hernia thing and you could see where he couldn't do certain things like certainly in the field, mm-hmm. which normally he might be able to do. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to immediately be an impactful guy, but I do know this, is that probably it's a good move to say, Trevor Story, let's see if we can get the guy that we saw for the second half last year out of him instead of riding some of these guys who are being called up, like Cheng or whoever it is, because the upside for a good Trevor Story, it's still significant. So, yeah, I think they put him in there unless you talk about a trade deadline, which incorporates the shock and awe of a Jeremy Pena, a Zach Neto, or someone like that.
All right, I guess that was my follow-up. I was like, if Trevor Story comes back and is healthy, and let's say he's fine, right? He's not hitting 100, but he's also not hitting 300. He's just fine. Would they still be in the market for a shortstop and then have that conversation with Story like, hey, you're either a platoon guy, a second baseman, or something else, but we went out and got somebody that's going to be our everyday shortstop?
The problem with that is that you don't have the time to figure that out. Like, you don't have the time. Right. Trevor Story comes back, you have what, a week, maybe, to figure, hey, good version of Trevor Story? You have to really identify, and you could make, okay, let's play this out. If you want to do the Neto thing, the Pena thing, whatever, you want to go that route, which I wouldn't be averse to because you need a right-handed bat. Those are good bats, and they're good shortstops, and they're under control. So you want to do that, and you say, Trevor, I'm sorry, we know you want to play shortstop, but we're going to move you to second. Okay, that's fine. But I can't see a scenario where they don't, when Trevor Story's ready, that they're like, Trevor, yeah, you just hang out here. You're not going to play. They've run out of time to evaluate. They just have to take this leap of faith with him.
Okay, Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. Bradfo, time for a little game.
Ooh!
Yay.
If game. We like can. Games. How about yes or no? I want short answers on this. Yes or no, you expect these players to be moved at the trade deadline, Bradfo? You understand the parameters?
Yeah, you say yes or no.
Okay, let's go.
Can I play?
Yeah. Jeremy Pena.
Yes.
Yes.
Zach Neto.
Yes.
Yes.
Francisco Lindor.
No.
Yes.
Corey Seager.
No.
No. Byron Buxton.
No.
Yes.
Damn it. Matt Olson.
No.
No. Matt Olson?
Yeah. Matt Olson? Why would they trade Matt Olson?
You mean Matt Chapman?
That is what I meant. I'm sorry. Matt Chapman is what I meant. Sorry.
Olson's going
sorry.
Anywhere.
Matt Chapman is what I meant. Sorry. Matt Chapman.
He's trying to stop us, Brad, for good job not going
Matt,
for it.
Matt Stairs.
No. That's Billy's guy.
All right.
Good game.
Matt Chapman.
Yes.
Yes.
Bo Bichette.
Yes.
No. Hunter Goodman.
Oh, I like how you emphasize the accent and goo on Goodman.
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Luis Arraez.
Probably.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm interested in
There's
some of those
names moving
I'm interested
around.
In some of those
can
names
I,
for the Red Sox. Yeah.
Not to steal your game idea.
Go for it.
But can I ask Bradford a similar question?
Yes.
Aroldis Chapman.
No.
Okay. Good.
No. I'm going to do the Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray.
I like the question mark. No, but they should absolutely entertain it because there is no pitcher other than Tarik Skubal is going to bring you back more. And by the way, that introduces the no trade clause, which, you know, Sonny Gray has that. Wilson Contreras has that. That complicates things. But I still say, like, if Sonny Gray, if they said to Sonny Gray, we want to trade you with Atlanta, I don't think he would say no.
Okay. By the way, good interview with Wilson Contreras.
I was just going to ask
that,
this, yeah.
That big story that came out, it's like, oh, he said he wouldn't waive his no trade. And then you asked him about it. He's like, kind of.
what was
your take on that?
Yeah.
That was somebody, more lukewarm.
Somebody whose name rhymes with Shmilo totally misreferenced out of that. Yeah. Which, you know, I say that I'm going on this podcast so I can say him in person. Uh-huh. But here's the thing. In defense of Chris, like, this was very complicated the way he said it, and that's how you took it. But if you listen back to what he said, I think what he said, now I do not know this for a fact, I think what he was saying was he went to the Red Sox and probably said something along the lines, if you activate the club option in 2028 for $20 million, I will not get in your way or something like that. So something like that. I don't know.
But,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. But luckily, it doesn't look like that's even going to come up anyway because they should keep him. They should add to the team.
How do you trade that guy?
Yeah,
how do you trade him now?
You fall out of it and then there's a lockout next year. I mean, that's how. But I'm with you. Sitting here today, I wouldn't trade him. I'm with you.
Yeah, but even then, like he's not going to be as good as this for the next couple of years. But still, he represents everything that you need, including a guy who was going to put his hand to his ear walking into a boxing ring in Philadelphia and say, bring it on, and then hit 490-foot bombs. Like, you need more of that in Boston. You need more of that in baseball.
My contention, Bradfoe, before we let you go, is that Craig Breslow, who has inarguably failed at the trade deadline the last couple of years, if you want to be glass half full, and you know me, that's me, if you want to be glass half full and expect different out of Breslow this year, my argument would be, there's a real sense of urgency, or I would hope there's a sense of urgency over his job security. Is that a reason to believe Breslow will act differently at the deadline this year compared to the last two?
I don't know if you could say job security, but you could definitely say, because you have to go back to what he was saying in the offseason. World Series, World Series, World Series, World Series. Like everything. And maybe that is job security. Maybe it's one and the same. But when you have proclaimed that this is your goal, and now you put yourself in position to actually achieve something like that, then you can't go halfway. You can't do the Dustin May thing. And that's what sort of scares me, is that, like, don't do the – I understand you like to get guys and fix them, and that's how baseball is now. But go out and get uncomfortable, get the guy, get the foundation guy, the shock and awe guy, because this is what you proclaim. You know what you need. You need a bat in the middle of the order – that you can say, good luck getting past that and Wilson Contreras. That's what you need. So go out and get it. You're going to have to pay three times what you wanted to pay for him. You might look bad, whatever it is. But to come back to your point, yeah. I mean, I do think that more so than the last couple of years, there is the we have to do something big.
Okay. He is Rob Bradford, WEEI Baseball Isn't Boring. You can check him out on the Odyssey app. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. Bradford, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Rob Bradford, second time in a week.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff out of Bradfoe. I like the trade deadline game there. Maybe we should bring that back with him.
Me and Bradford disagreed on a couple.
We did. Which we can get into. Yeah,
he's trying to stump us with that also.
Something if Matt Olson got traded.
Yeah, he's trying to stump us.
The second best team in the NL selling off
whatever. When you come up with a game in the middle of the segment, man, you can't always fact check yourself and double check yourself. So we'll circle back to his answers on some of those, because actually he's got some real interesting names moving. Not Matt Olson.
It could
a lot
be a
of other
deadline.
Interesting names moving.
Could be
yeah.
a pretty good deadline.
So let's get to that. And John Henry has spoken about why he doesn't speak to the media. Right. Let's get to that with some phone calls coming up next.
Well, yesterday, our next guest announced a proposed legislative act named after that Noah Kahan song, which is called the Great Divide Act, which would help those who feel like they're paying too much for concert and events tickets. And that next guest is the governor of the Commonwealth, Maura Healey. Good morning, Governor.
Hey, good morning, Greg.
I'm interested in this. We've talked about it a lot. When we heard you were thinking of doing this and the legislature would have the opportunity to do this, we were interested because Obviously, people get upset about tickets and how much they cost. However, there is, you know, a free market system here. And so I'm wondering how you decided that this is what you wanted to do, and how you feel about government controlling the price of anything in our country.
Yeah. Well, you know, yesterday I made this announcement. Noah Kahan called in to support it. And, you know, he's been out there talking about this, about how, you know, and we see it, people having to wait forever, getting gouged by these resellers and just not able to, just totally priced out and not able to buy tickets to concerts and shows. And, you know, our approach was, let's bring some fairness back into the system. And, you know, here's what it does. Okay. For concerts. Okay. We're talking about for concerts, not for sporting events. This doesn't touch season ticket holders or anything like that, because I know many of them do resell their tickets, but for concert tickets. Okay. Which is like a one-time deal. Your favorite artist is coming to town. Big deal. It's going to cap the resale price for those tickets at 110%. So a ticket that's $100 can only be resold for $110. And it's also going to cap the service fee at 10%. You know, we see service fees that are added on top of that. I mean, tickets that were face value for Noah Kahan, you know, were going at a minimum, you know, $700+. And, you know, it would have saved people all that money. It doesn't affect sporting events here, except that for sporting events, those tickets, the service fee is capped. The other thing it does that I think is important is that it bans ghost tickets. You know, during the World Cup, we heard a lot of reports about people that actually purchased tickets or thought they purchased tickets through a reseller, StubHub, SeatGeek, only to find out when they got down to Gillette that those tickets never transferred. Mm-hmm. So they paid thousands of dollars and they're left outside in Foxborough, not able to get into the event. That's like illegal. It's fraud. It's predatory. So we want to ban that here. This doesn't affect people's ability to sell, you know, tickets on Facebook or Craigslist. But, you know, folks, you got to understand, we're being taken advantage of by these billion-dollar private equity companies that basically run and program all of all the companies that are professional reselling operations. They're not for us. They're for them. And this is about bringing some fairness back into it.
Governor, I've been hearing a lot this summer about Blue Dot Fever, which is this issue that a lot of touring artists are up against, where they schedule these shows to play, they can't sell the tickets, and then they either have to fold shows or entire tours completely. Have you seen any other markets do this, what you're suggesting, and do you think that that will have an impact on that trend?
Also, did the Blue Dot Fever start at Taco Bell, or is that another? That's another thing. Okay. Go ahead, Governor. Sorry.
I know. Well, this is like, you know, what happens when you see, you know, you go online and you see all the seating charts, and then the blue dots, you know, making it like look like there's an unsold seat. And then, you know, prices get jacked up and things get out of reach. I mean, this is all, it's all part of the industry. You know, my goal isn't to dictate, you know, what a price is going to be, because at the end of the day, we also would say in our legislation that the artist and the venue can set the price. You know, they can determine what they think is right. And I'm trying to give some power back to the artists. And a lot of artists, including Noah Kahan, have talked about this, that like the way these ticket resellers operate, it hurts fans and it also hurts the artists. So the power is still with the artists, the power is with the fans to set the initial face value price. But once you do that, you know, you can't be like charging 20X, you know, for something, or adding a service fee, StubHub, that's, you know, going to add another $100 or $200 on tickets. So, I mean, that's what this does. I think it's actually going to make it, it's going to open up the ability to purchase tickets for more people, you know? And, you know, to me, the ability to purchase tickets, just, you know, it shouldn't be left for a select few that, you know, don't have to mortgage their home to go see a show.
I guess, so my question is going to be, so the Red Sox are owned by John Henry and his group, which has private equity investment and they, what's to prevent them from raising prices for concerts? Because they know that the resale will, they know the interest is that high. Like, how does this not, how next year is the concert for Coldplay at Fenway not going to be $500 for a ticket that originally was going to be $100?
Well, look, we also, we reached out and we talked to the teams as we were thinking about the kind of legislation that would make sense. And, you know, I think that what you see and what you're going to see is, you know, artists are going to have control over this. They want their fans to be able to go to shows. That'll be a negotiation and discussion with a given venue. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a way to keep, put people in seats, but give more people access to the ability to purchase these tickets. And, you know, I don't think artists want to see their fans gouged. I mean, that's why there's such a movement around this. You know, I'm comfortable with the approach that we're taking. Again, it doesn't affect sporting events and season ticket holders, for example, except it's going to cap that, that service fee if they're using a, if they're reselling tickets on a platform. So I think it's, I think it's a sensible thing to do, you know, and I think that I think our venues want to have, you know, fans able to enjoy and get out there and not have empty seats.
Could we do the same thing with utility rates?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying. I'm fighting. I'm fighting every day, opposing opposing those rate hikes. In fact, I'm in a legal proceeding right now, fighting the utilities on rate hikes. People can't afford rate hikes, so I'm fighting them on that. You know, while I'm trying to bring more energy in, increase the supply.
Governor, I actually just have a question on that because we don't get the chance to talk to you that often. Why is my Eversource bill more expensive for the delivery than for the energy? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's something that is it's frustrating to a lot of people. Part of, so what it is it's the system allows for a certain amount of charge to go not just for the actual gas or electricity, but for the infrastructure that helps enable all that, that that, that builds it. It's a way to fund, you know, the construction and the maintenance of all the pipes and wires and lines that deliver energy into our homes. But, you know, I filed legislation that I'm hoping I can sign soon that would actually reduce that amount and would change the way utilities go about doing their business. Right now, if you can believe it, utilities don't have to purchase energy that they send to us at the lowest cost. They can purchase it whatever cost. And we end up eating, you know, eating that. And so, you know, my legislation does a bunch of things that actually change the way utilities operate, that are more fair to people and our businesses, and that will actually reduce our gas and electric bills. So I'm hoping the legislature acts on that, and I'm signing that into law soon.
Yeah, it's killing people. It's people have to have electricity. Don't necessarily have to go to a concert. So it's absolutely killing people.
Yeah. And which is also why we need more supply. You know, I approved expansion of a couple existing gas pipelines. We've got geothermal, solar, hydro now coming down, wind. We've got to be using everything. I support nuclear. And we've got to find a way to bring more energy in. And this is something our country needs, actually. I talked to governors from all over the country, and everybody's trying to find ways to lower gas and electric bills right now. It's a problem around the country, especially in the Northeast, in the Atlantic states. And we've got to do it as quickly as we can because, you know, with all the AI and all of the technology that all of us are using every day, that sucks a lot of energy use, you know, and we just need more energy into to our region so that we're able to have the power that we need for our economy and people can have, with greater supply, lower gas and electric bills.
Could you put in a good word for us with Noah Kahan? Because Wiggy called him whiny on the show and he won't come on. So if you could you put in a good word?
You did not.
Yeah, yep. Ruined the whole thing. Like, could have had the guy on the show, and Wiggy, absolutely. And Mego, too. Oh. Mego.
I never said anything that disparaging.
Yes, you did.
I
just said, you
I said he's a B minus.
Yes, yes, yeah, you called him.
You know what? I love Noah Kahan, so you're talking to the wrong person. I think, you know what I love about him? Is he's found a way to talk about mental health and hard stuff in songs that actually, like, are happy sounding and make you feel good, you know? Yeah. I just think the guy's been remarkable. And hey, you know, he's a New Englander, you know? Mm-hmm. Lived a long time in Watertown, Vermonter. We love him, you know? Yeah. Got to root for him.
Mego has been filling in for Courtney. Courtney's back in a week, but it's her last day today. Could we do some sort of a proclamation or something for Mego?
Absolutely. Yeah, I want you to, you write that. Don't let Wiggy write that.
Okay.
You write that.
Okay.
Okay, get the language to my desk and we'll have a proper citation for Mego.
Okay, with the, like the official, for sure. Like the stamp thing and the, comes in the blue folder and the whole like office of the governor, like the whole thing that she can hang up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that as soon as I'm meeting the guys with the traffic cone, the Scots. They're coming to my office.
Okay, enough with the Scottish people.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, that was,
why?
It must have been, I don't know if we have the financials in yet, but the economy with the World Cup and with everybody here, I think there was a lot of stories leading up to it that it might have been a little softer than people anticipated. Do you have any numbers that, because it felt like such a major success for the region.
Yeah, we're still getting numbers on that. I can tell you that, you know, bars and restaurant sales are way up. More activity in hotels, obviously. But, you know, I think we'll get the numbers, and the numbers are important. And I knew it was going to be an economic boost for us. I also knew we could pull it off. And, you know, people like to be negative, naysayers about how this whole thing is going to go. We had fantastic public safety, no issues through World Cup, MA-250, now the tall ships. We also had great public transit that was working. Those trains back and forth to Gillette, we carried, you know, over 100,000 people down there, and always on time. And you know, it worked out great. But the price for, like, the happy energy, vibe, joy, showing off Massachusetts, I've heard from so many people who are like, you guys showed us a really great time. You were welcoming. You were warm. It was fun. We're coming back. We're coming back, and we're going to bring our families back, and maybe this time we'll get down to the Cape, or, you know, it's going to have a lasting positive economic impact for our state, for sure.
Can you put that Glasgow traffic cone right in the middle of a bike lane, please?
No, I got to protect the cone.
Just put it like smack dab right in the middle of it. All right, final thing for me, happy hour. You promised us. When is it coming?
Yeah, I'm on record. I'm supporting it. You know, I used the World Cup as an experience, as an opportunity to say we should extend bar hours, which we did. And I was glad to see that. So, you know, I'd like that to continue. And I've said the same about happy hour, because again, it's about a vibe and energy. And I'm really focused, as you know, like keeping 20 somethings here, keeping, you know, our young people here. That's why I'm building 100,000 homes so people can afford rent and buy a place. It's also about energy, and part of it is, like, you know, creating spaces where people can hang out, have a good time, drinking or not drinking, just places where people can be, you know, and hanging out together. And that's why I think this stuff is important. So I'm going to keep pushing for it.
Governor, thank you for taking the time, as always, and we'll see what happens when it comes to the Great Divide Act.
All right. To see you. Have a good weekend, guys.
All right. There she is, the governor of the Commonwealth. We will be right back.
For many parents, there's a distinct moment when it hits you. It's not just about you anymore. It's about making sure the people you love are taken care of, no matter what the future holds. And for a lot of people, that's exactly what gets them thinking about life insurance. If you've been putting it off because you think it's too complicated, life insurance through Ethos is designed to change that. Ethos makes the process of getting covered fast and easy by moving it 100% online. There are no medical exams. Applicants just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, with some policies starting as low as $30 a month. It's a straightforward way to help provide financial security for your family. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, the World Cup has been fantastic. Honestly, like each match, like yesterday's, it was the curse of Rich. I said that Argentina was not going to score, and I'd heard that Argentina from one of these betting guys said there's no way they're going to score in regulation, and sure enough, at the 85th minute, bang, bang.
By the way, the ratings, you were going to mention the ratings for that.
So. Oh, yeah. It's, you know what? I saw it, and like they're still compiling some of them, but apparently it's going to be like, so the Argentina versus Cape Verde game was 2.6 billion worldwide. 2.6 billion with a B. The Super Bowl had 125 million, just to put things in perspective. Mm-hmm.
The USA round of 16 match, 50 million viewers. Ooh. More than the NBA Finals and
in
Boston
America.
In America, and Boston was number 2 nationally in terms of local ratings, mm-hmm. as far as cities go. It's pretty impressive.
So that means our following guest was seen by a lot of people over the last several weeks. Mr. Matt Turner, who plays, of course, for the New England Revolution. He is their goalie, and a big congrats to him. Just got a big extension. It was announced on Monday. It looks like he's going to be in New England long term. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, quite the intro there. But yeah, happy to be here long term and settle down and then, you know, ultimately compete for what the people of New England expect, which is trophies.
So Matt, first of all, you know, you being on the U.S. men's national team, I mean, it was a great ride, you know, despite the way that it ended. You know, it was obvious, you can tell by the ratings, you know, everyone in America, it was a huge story. How does it feel to like every 4 years to be on a stage where over a billion people are watching each one of your games? We talked about that Argentina game, 2.6 billion people like worldwide watched it. How does it feel to be part of something that huge?
Yeah, it you feel it, you know, you feel it. It's soccer is the most global sport. It really is. And, you know, when the World Cup's going on, the whole world stops to watch your game. There's no overlap. There's just one game on TV to watch, and everyone's tuned in, and the stakes are never higher than they are, you know, at the World Cup. And this one has been so spectacular. The venues have been great. The play has been fantastic. It's been competitive. There's been upsets. And most importantly, there's been the superstars being, you know, the superstars. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see when the tournaments are happening.
Matt, I was wondering if you could take us kind of, you know, into the locker room, behind the scenes, if you will, when, you know, Balogun's red card was reversed, right? And it was determined that he could play in your match against Belgium. I'm just curious, that news that he was going to be able to play, how was that received in the locker room? What were guys thinking about that that fortune that went your way? How was that kind of processed in the locker room when it was determined he could play against Belgium?
Yeah, from the outside, I think there was a lot more noise than from the inside. I think for us, We did a great job of just, you know, adapting to whatever was thrown our way. Whether it was in the Bosnia game, you know, defending with 10 men or just anything in the past. I think for us, it was just another decision that was outside of our control. And then from there, it's like, you know, the guy that's scoring some goals is available to play. So I think, you know, we were happy for him because obviously the red card was a bit unjust. But we knew that no matter what the final say was, whoever was going to play, the coach was going to select the play, was going to be ready to compete at the highest level.
How much of a shock was it? Like, were you guys shocked, or did you think that there was indeed a chance that Balogun would be back?
I mean, for us, it was obviously an unprecedented decision. So I don't think anybody was expecting. None of us even knew there was a possibility, I think, for that to take place or to happen. So when we got the news, I think we were all pretty shocked. And I think there was, you know, the locker room talk, a little bit of teasing of we didn't know that Ballo had the poll like he had.
You mean the presidential poll?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, listen, I don't know who called who, but I hold my hands up. I don't know who called who, but I do know that that whatever happened was unprecedented, and we were able to have an extremely important player on the pitch. And of course, we wanted the best chance to win.
This question's been asked for 20 years, Matt, but now it kind of feels like there actually is an advancement in soccer in America and with the U.S. team. Did you feel that just, you know, travel around from city to city and playing in these matches? Do you feel like it's got to the next level?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. It's been overwhelming at times, really. You know, I remember when I first saw my games, you know, with the single mat back in the day, and, you know, you're going into Boston and you're at a game and you're walking in and you're waiting in line like everybody else, you're paying the cover charge and people are asking you what you do for a living and you don't even tell them you play soccer because sometimes they ask like, hey, can you do that full time for a living?
Yeah.
Changed a lot in the last 12 years, you know? But no, that just seriously, outside of the jokes, it is insane how much it's changed. I mean, it's been the most popular youth sport in America for years and years and years. And now, you know, for it to be here so tangible for fans to see the players that they love, whether it be the U.S., other countries.
Hey, Matt, we're going to put you on hold for just a second, if you don't mind, and we're going to have you just move to a different spot so you can get the phone worked on.
Yeah, I want
to
hear his answer.
Yeah, I want to hear his answer. So we're going to put him on hold for just a second. By the way, the Revolution's doing something very smart, is now that everyone's got soccer fever.
Yeah.
You know, even I've been like, maybe I want to go to a match. Have you seen those ads they've had for Have a Game on Us?
No.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I guess they're doing this thing. It's like next match on us. So they say that basically if you've never been to a Revs match, they're going to give you 2 free tickets.
Oh, that's smart.
To Saturday's match, which is smart, which is good. All right, Matt Turner's back with us. Hey, Matt, sorry about that. Your phone was just going off a second.
Yeah, that's on me. But yeah, anyways, it's been immense, and you feel it when you go from place to place. And then most importantly, you know, the tangibility of theirs for the kids and the next generation is huge.
So, Matt, okay, let me take you into a conversation that I heard at a bar when we were watching a game the other night, and it's something that I've heard before, and there's even part of me that has thought it. And that is that, you know, when you have these shootouts at the end of games, first of all, there aren't many more exciting things in sports than a World Cup shootout for all the marbles. And it does seem like I heard some people saying, well, man, it's like a 50-50 shot. You know, the goalie's just going to jump one way or he's going to jump the other way. And I could do that. I could score on a World Cup goalie. And as a matter of fact, there was a poll that came out that 28% of all people watching the World Cup think that they could score on a World Cup goalie. Now, I have had something like this happen before with Brian Scalabrine, who played for the Celtics, where people were saying, I could beat that guy. He's the last one on the bench. And Brian Scalabrine schooled those guys. Can you kind of put in perspective and say something to the people that think they could score on a World Cup goalie in one of those shootout situations?
The only thing I'll say, in a World Cup situation, there's just absolutely no chance. But the thing is, in soccer, you can get lucky with like a random toe poke, or you're trying to kick it one way and it somehow comes off your foot the other way. So it's, when people don't know how to kick, it can be random. But no, in general, I back a World Cup level goalkeeper to save it from an average Joe, you know, 9.5 times out of 10.
Have you ever taken on an average Joe before?
I did a TikTok recently with some guy, his name's Frank Michael Smith, and he was supposed to be the average Joe, and he said he practiced for, you know, a couple weeks, and then he took a penalty, and I dove and basically caught it.
All right, so if I had 100 kicks on you, how many do you think I would make in? And I never played soccer at any level.
I think one or two, because I think you'll kind of get the hang of it. But I think after about 10, your leg might fall off.
Sure, you might be right. Right, it's like, oh, this is way more physical than I thought it was.
Real quick, Matt, yesterday's match, did you think England screwed up strategy-wise? I can't begin to, like, X's and O's know what was going on, but were they not aggressive enough at the end of the match?
It's hard to say. I mean, of course, hindsight, it's easy to say, yeah, of course they weren't... They weren't aggressive enough, but I think they definitely invited the pressure that presented itself on them. And then after they conceded one goal because of the changes that were made, it was always going to be difficult for them to regroup themselves tactically. I think there was more time for them to really go for the game. But, you know, you look back at their game in Mexico with 10 men, you know, they defended the box brilliantly, and I just think they thought they would be able to do that again. So I see it from both sides, but obviously hindsight, it looked like maybe a tough decision from the manager. But dude, those are the big money calls. You know, that's why we get paid to do what we do, and it didn't pay off this time.
All right, Matt Turner, you are obviously a New England guy, so I have to ask you, whose career is more impressive, Lionel Messi or Tom Brady?
I think if Messi wins this World Cup, I will have to go with Messi.
Wow. Okay. So he is, because when you talk Tom Brady, you think that there's almost no way anyone can reach his level. Like, it would be really almost insane to get even close to that. Is that kind of where Messi is in soccer?
Yeah. I mean, you have to think Messi's won so many different things, you know, two Copa Americas, which happens once every 4 years, potentially two World Cups, which only happens once every 4 years. So many league titles, so many Champions League trophies. He's been voted the best player however many times. I mean, just doing things unprecedented, you know, in the world of soccer. So I know Tom Brady has done the same. Like you said, I'm a New England guy. I love Tom. I think he is basically synonymous, his face, with New England. But I think if Messi wins this World Cup, I'll have to go with him.
All right. So, Matt, who's winning tomorrow on Sunday? Who is winning the final?
It's hard to root against Argentina. It really is, because if they've been, you know, knocked down and counted out in many games, and they just fight and claw and they don't give up and they really believe in themselves. But the Spanish team has looked like the most complete team this entire tournament. They haven't really been, no one's really laid a glove on them all tournament. So, you know, if Argentina are able to do that, you're not really sure how they're going to react. But the way they've been playing, I like to say Spain, but so hard to root against the best player in the world.
Well, Matt Turner, I bet you're excited to get back to things here now you can call it Gillette Stadium and not Boston Stadium
right,
anymore.
Yeah, right. It's back.
That's right. You got two home games.
The cover's been shaved off.
That's right. Those gigantic. It's funny. I saw somebody took a picture of every seat at Gillette Stadium has a little Gillette logo on it, mm-hmm. and somebody had to go with a little blue piece of tape on every mm-hmm. seat and put it over that for the World Cup games. Yep.
And then go take it off, by the way.
Yes, that's
take it
right.
off and then put the artificial turf back in it.
Oh, man, yeah, I know.
I know, guys. Come on. Don't get me started on that. Well, listen, we won 8 out of 9 games at home on the grass. What else can we do?
There you go. All right, Matt Turner, thanks for coming on with us, man. We appreciate it. We got two home games, July 22nd and July 25th for New England Revolution. Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Right, by the way, this is kind of funny, you know, because that is pretty wild how people think that they could score on a World Cup goalie. But I read this about Paul Skeens, you know, obviously one of the best guys out there, you know, at his gig. There was somebody who broke down the numbers. They said, could you get one hit if Paul Skeens threw you 1,000 pitches? And the scientists and the data people said, probably not. Major league hitters have managed just 87 hits off of Skeens' 1,732 pitches. Only about 5% of all pitches have turned into hits, and those are the best hitters on the planet. So for the average person, getting even one clean hit would be extraordinarily unlikely.
I would take it even further. How many people could just get wood on it? Could just like foul tip it?
Yep.
I think
I'd sneak one by.
I tell you, the scallions is one of my favorite things I've ever done, ever. Because Scal was just like, bring him on. And he was like, you know what? And don't even get the people who are talking trash. Yeah. I want the best. You take videos. I want the best players you can find. And he murdered them.
I believe it.
Murdered them.
I believe it.
The best, the worst player, if you want to call him the worst player on the on an NBA team is 1,000 times better than the best player in your rec league.
That was a good, they did Pros versus Joes as like a TV series for a while, and they was good. They should bring that back. Yeah. I mean, they probably have in various forms.
No question, no question. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths, without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.